When a good teacher begins to instruct a student, the teacher begins by putting down what is most fundamental. And then in succeeding instructions builds upon that, so that there is an integrity in what is presented. The great teacher of faith is the liturgy of the church. In worship, we discover who God is and who we are, and what our relationship to God and God's relationship to us is all about. So today, the first Sunday of Lent, the church, a good teacher, puts before us the fundamentals. And that's really what we find in the scriptures today. In the story of the temptation, what is presented to us is the time immemorial seduction of the human person. The challenges that are present today and always have been for people of faith. Jesus faces those same challenges. The first of the challenges is to find one's security, find one's confidence, find one's hope, find one's assurance in material things. Now that's a seductive thing, because you and I are part of the created universe. You and I have much in common with the material universe. All of creation has been put into our hands. We are called to use the created universe, to make good use of it, to be respectful of it, for our good and for the good of others. We are called by our very nature to engage the created universe. And yet, we can become so possessive that the very possessions that we have begin to possess us. We can become greedy, and we can see in everything something that we want. That desire to claim and make it mine is a temptation that strikes at the very center of human life. All you need to do is to watch a child. The first word the child may learn is mommy. The second word may be daddy. And the third word is mine. The temptation to find one's security in things rather than in God. Jesus will say in another place in the scriptures that look at the birds of the air and the flowers of the field. Do not worry about what you're going to eat or what you're going to drink or what you're going to wear. Your Father already knows what you need. Seek first the kingdom of God, and what you need will be given to you. Not what you want, but what you need. And the temptation is to mix up the two. I know a man who is very clear about what he needs. He knows how many shirts he needs, how many suits he needs, how many pair of shoes he needs. And he has a rule that every time I buy another shirt, I must give one away. I know what I need. And you know what? He doesn't buy very much. The second temptation is the temptation to power, the temptation to control, the temptation to manipulate another so that that other does what I want, the temptation to manipulate the circumstances or the occasions of life so I can get what I want, the temptation to stand above everyone else and to see everyone else as doing my bidding. That temptation to power over another is to find one's security, one's happiness, one's hope in the ability to control. And there are so many ways in which human beings seek to control. It happens in families, it happens in the classroom, it happens in the workplace, it happens in neighborhoods, it happens among friends, it happens within marriages. Years ago, I met a man, an old man. He and his wife had one child, a son. That son lived on the West Coast. Ever so often, the man would leave his house and he would walk 3 blocks to a gas station. And in the phone booth at the gas station, he would make a collect call to his son, because it's the only way he could talk to his son. If he called his son from home, his wife would pick up the extension phone and would take the conversation away from him. He couldn't have a private conversation with his son. The control was so strong. Jesus says in another place in the gospel, as James and John argue about power and authority, Jesus says, if you wish to be first, you must be last. If you want to be the greatest, you must be the servant of all. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life in ransom for many. Authority and power in the gospel is the authority and the power to serve, not to control. Institutions can abuse that power as well. Political institutions, social institutions, religious institutions. Churches can become oppressive and abusive in the exercise of power. Jesus said of the Pharisees, do not do what they do. They heap up heavy burdens and they lay them on the shoulders of others, and yet they do not lift a finger to help them carry those burdens. There are times a church authority can do the very same. The third is the most seductive of all the temptations. It's the temptation of the righteous person, the temptation of the person who does everything correctly, the temptation of the person who dots every I and crosses every T. It's the temptation to believe that by my good works, by my religious practice, I can guarantee the favor of God. It's the temptation of the righteous person to believe that he or she is in charge. And the truth is, there is not one single thing that you or I could do that would alter in any way the depth of love God has for every single one of us. Whether I'm good or evil, strong or weak, right or wrong, in no measure affects the love that God has for one. God's overpowering love is poured out gratuitously, independent of anything I do. My actions are meant to be a response to that love. My actions are meant to be a sign of gratitude and thanksgiving. My actions are meant to be a trusting confidence in that overwhelming love of God. The temptation put before Jesus is the temptation to test God. God, do this for me, and I will do A, B, and C, and D, and E for you. If you're good to God, God will be good to you. That's the temptation. Temptation to believe that I can manipulate the love of God. So the foundation that the church puts before us, teaches us today, that foundation truth is that the believer is called to express and live a confident trust in God and to resist the temptation to place one's confidence and one's trust in material things, in power, or even in one's religious practice. To recognize that one is a creature and stands before the face of the Creator, and to recognize that all that one is and all that one has is fundamentally the gift of God. And to live that out with gratitude and thanksgiving. It's in the first reading that you and I heard from the book of Deuteronomy that Moses reminds the people of Israel. He talks to them about a liturgical action, a worship action that they perform. It's the same action that we perform every Sunday. After the collection is taken, the basket of food and the basket of money is brought forward. And Moses says, when you bring forth the baskets, place them at the foot of the altar, and then say in your heart, my ancestor was a wandering Aramean who went down into the land of Egypt. This ancestor of mine was small and insignificant, but there grew into a powerful nation. And the powers of Egypt enslaved us. It was only by the power of God, whose mighty arm stretched forth and brought us from slavery into freedom, brought us into a freedom and a land that would be our own. A God who blessed us and graced us. Moses says, it's not just what God has done for me that I give thanks for. It's what God has done for everyone from the very beginning that I give thanks for. And that I'm confident in trusting that what God has done day in and day out, year in and year out, is a work upon which I can place my confidence. I have nothing to fear. So the first lesson as we begin the season of Lent is confident trust in God, to place one's heart in God. For where one's heart is, that's where one's treasure will be.